Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It is a Tuesday. I'm always in a good mood when another Patriot's going to get into the Hall of Fame. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Just a bounce in my step today. Julian Edelman is retired, and that means a one-way ticket to Canton, Ohio, Joy. Very exciting.
How many players has Tom Brady gotten into the Hall of Fame now?
No kidding.
No, Julian had an amazing career. Congrats. Amazing. Definitely a Hall of Famer.
I want to talk about that.
Okay.
Got to have context to stuff. So, anybody notice how Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were inspired to rush to release press releases when Edelman retired? I've never seen Belichick gush. He didn't gush for Brady like that. Brady didn't gush for Belichick like that. But they both were so inspired by what Julian Edelman is, they rushed to say what a great player he is. Listen to what Belichick said. This is remarkable. For all Julian did for our team, what I appreciated the most was he was a quintessential throwback player. He could and did everything. Catch, run, throw, block, return, cover, tackle, all with an edge and a competitiveness that would not allow him to fail. It was a privilege to coach him. Wow. Belichick's never said that about another player. Brady rushed out to congratulate him on his career. And yet I turned on the radio yesterday, the radio yesterday, and it was a cacophony of, he's not a Hall of Fame player. Then what is? You got to add context to stuff. Do you know Jason Garrett has a higher winning percentage than Jimmy Johnson? Who's the better coach? Wade Phillips, Bill Parcells. Essentially the same winning percentage. But Parcells took over teams that needed to be rebuilt. Wade Phillips, a good man, took over very good teams that were never quite as good as you hoped. Context. Calvin Johnson is a Hall of Famer and should be. Great player. But he retired early because he didn't play in games that mattered. And he was tired of allowing his body to get beaten up. He only has 730 total catches, half of Jerry Rice. Calvin Johnson was so frustrated with his career, he had many good years left. He goes, I'm not playing in games that matter. Edelman conversely played until his body fell apart. If you ask Calvin Johnson today if he would trade places with Julian Edelman, damn right he would. And if you asked Edelman if he would trade places with Calvin Johnson, he would laugh in your face. Being in games that matter. I love Calvin Johnson, but he's more known for a catch that didn't count. And he retired early. Edelman, for a decade, made more big catches in more big games than any player. Super Bowl MVP. The biggest catch in Super Bowl history versus Atlanta. Second in league history in playoff catches and playoff yards. National TV. Let's add more context. Receivers on bad teams trail with 8 minutes to go. And they face prevent defenses and get what I would call junk yards. Julian Edelman didn't get junk yards because the Patriots averaged 12 wins through his career. So what was Edelman doing in the last 7.5 minutes of games? Blocking. Blocking edge rushers and Mike linebackers and Sam linebackers, all bigger than him. Because the Patriots led and are part of the greatest system ever. And that's what Edelman was always about. Doing whatever it took. Edelman didn't get junk yards. His stats were in the heart, the meat of third downs in the quarters that mattered. A lot of you guys play fantasy football. I don't. But in fantasy football, sometimes receivers on bad teams are better than receivers on good teams because bad teams throw the ball late because they're trailing. Edelman doesn't trail. You have to add context that the Patriots had a system. And when you're part of a great system, you have to sacrifice things. Like Manu Ginobili would have averaged 23 a game. But in the Spurs system, he came off the bench and averaged 17 and a half in his prime. He's a Hall of Famer to me. More context. Julian Edelman was always his best in the biggest games. He was the opposite of a stat compiler. Ask yourself this. What are the best friends? The ones that love those free trips to Vegas with you? Or the ones that show up when you're in the hospital getting a divorce or need to move? There's always the friends, the hangers-on who love the free dinners, the parties. They take your call and then disappear when it matters. Edelman is the friend that was biggest when you needed him most. New England doesn't draft wide receivers particularly well, so he never had that superstar number one receiver that got the double coverage. He often got doubled. Nothing against Calvin Johnson. But today, if you asked him, would you take 75% of Edelman's career? He would sign up today. I don't think Edelman would take more than 5, 10% of Calvin's. He didn't play any games that mattered. Any. What's his biggest catch? And I love Calvin. I met him once. Nicest guy in the world. I mean, nicest pro athlete I've ever met. But baseball's always understood context. Baseball's always understood this. Mariano Rivera only has 82 wins in his career. And pitched very few innings. But 100% of writers voted him into the Hall of Fame. Because when he entered the game, it mattered. He was asked with the burden or responsibility of closing out the greatest franchise in history's World Series and playoff games. He may have thrown 9 pitches, but they were the 9 most important pitches. Baseball understands this. John Smoltz is a Hall of Famer and should be. John Smoltz played for the Atlanta Braves, pitched forever, and they were great when he played there. And yet he only won 20 games once. How? But John Smoltz in the postseason was a magician. 15-4 against powerhouse National League teams, and they couldn't hit him. When you look at what Belichick said yesterday, and what Brady was inspired to go to social media to say. I went for a jog yesterday after I read Belichick's press release, calling it a privilege to coach Julian Edelman. And I don't know why, but this quote popped into my head more than once. So I go on a jog, not a run. I don't run fast enough to be called a run. It's a jog. And it just kept coming back to me. Our 35th president, JFK, the late JFK, once inspired a nation, saying, ask not what the country can do for you, but what for you can do for the country. Now, Edelman's just a football player, and perhaps he only inspired Patriot Nation, Belichick and Brady. But what made him the quintessential Hall of Famer to me was, he never asked what football could do for him. He asked Brady, Belichick, Kraft, and Gronk what he could do for them. That is a winner. That is a friend. That is somebody in a foxhole. You go ahead and win your fantasy league with receivers on bad teams getting junk yards who play on Thanksgiving and always lose and finish in third and fourth place. Go ahead, knock yourself out. Give them the jackets. Give them the gold jackets. But to me, what made Jerry Rice great wasn't just all his catches, but he was unguardable in the biggest games. You got to add context to stuff. What makes a great friend, a great player, a great coach? Jason Garrett's a good coach. Jimmy Johnson's a legend. Jason's got a better win percentage. Wade Phillips is a good man and a good coach. Bill Parcells is a legend. They have essentially the same win percentage. I don't care about innings pitched. When were you asked to pitch? When did you get the ball from Joe Torre? When did Phil Jackson call your number? When were you asked to shoot? Edelman, in the biggest games for a decade, was seemingly always better in the games that mattered most. And so inspired Bill Belichick that Belichick rushed yesterday to release a statement saying it was an absolute privilege to coach him. To me, that's a Hall of Famer. I don't even need a second story to start my show today. I'm just bouncing on cloud nine. I do not have a vote in Canton. If I did, I would put him in. For the record, many of you have argued against Eli Manning. You cannot tell the story of football without Eli Manning. Can't tell the story. Beat Brady twice with a pass to Mario Manningham and David Tyree. Beat him twice. Well, you can't tell the story without Nick Foles beat Brady. Yeah, you can. You can talk about all the Super Bowls. You'd have to talk about the Tampa Super Bowl. You'd have to talk about the two losses to Eli, and you'd have to talk about the wins. The Philly one outside of Philly, you don't have to talk about that one. We know Brady's great, and we lost a couple beyond that one.
Well, I also think Eli Manning's resume is a little bit more robust than Nick Foles.
Like, if I said to you...
No disrespect.
Just say it out loud. Second most catches and yards in NFL playoff history. Just say it out loud. If you're caught up in September 18th and October 24th games, the Patriots experiment in September. Belichick's worst month is September. Nobody cares about Edelman's yards then. And with 7 minutes left in games, he doesn't get the junk yards. They lead. He is asked to block. That's what happens to the Manu Ginobili's and Edelman's. They sacrifice for the betterment of rings. You have to add that context.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So I'm reading stories now. They're coming out today that Mac Jones to the Niners, is it a lock or not? A lot of people think it's a mirage. They think it's a magic trick. They're trying to fool you. But then other people very close to the Shanahan family are saying it's Mac Jones. And so... here's the thing. Whoever goes to San Francisco, as I make my argument against Mac Jones, whoever goes there will have success. The offensive line is an A+, top three in the league. Head coach, offensively, top three in the league. Running game, excellent. A tight end, A+. O-line, A+. Wide receivers, B+. I know they'll have success. And as I've said, five quarterbacks are going to get taken in the first round. Historically, one, maybe two tops succeed. And my guess is Trevor Lawrence and whoever goes to San Francisco, including Mac Jones. So as I doubt Mac Jones, I know that for the first few years, I'll lose the argument. But I know long term, they're drafting a guy that has the same concerns of Jimmy Garoppolo, low ceiling, which is driving Kyle Shanahan nuts. And he's going to be in a division with Kyler Murray, higher ceiling. Matt Stafford, higher ceiling. Russell Wilson, higher ceiling. And after about 2 years, he's going to have a less athletic Kirk Cousins, and it'll drive him nuts. But for the first couple years, they will win games. And I've had sports arguments like this. People in Los Angeles would remember when Shaq and Kobe broke up. I said Lakers made the right move. They kept Kobe. He's more obsessed. He's a better practice player. His career will last longer. He's not falling apart. He's a better teammate. But I knew that Shaq going to Miami with Pat Riley and D. Wade would win for the first couple years. And they did. But eventually, it was the right move. Kobe was the right player. But I knew, I talked to people inside the Laker organization. They're like, listen, we've sat down and thought about everything. Kobe's the first to practice and the last to leave. Kobe's in better shape. Kobe's more committed. Kobe's more obsessed. But Shaq's going to win initially. So you lose the argument for a couple years, but you know you're on the right side. RG3, Andrew Luck. I got nothing but crap for it. Because RG3 entered a Washington football team with Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan in a great running game. So they asked RG3 to basically make one read, hand it off, throw on third and two. It was built to walk in and succeed. Andrew Luck was set, throw 500 times, worst O-line in football, no run game or defense. Here's the playbook, figure it out. So I knew that Andrew Luck was going to have more losses, get hit more, but they were asking him to do more, and I knew he was the better quarterback of the two. But for a year, RG3 won Rookie of the Year. I lost the argument for a year, but I knew I was on the right side. So on the right side with Kobe, and I'm on the right side with Andrew Luck. Mac Jones will win, but when Trent Williams, maybe the best or second best left tackle, retires, when George Kittle in two more years breaks down, and you can't find equal replacements for those two Hall of Famers. Even if you found a good tight end and a good left tackle, they're not going to be Trent Williams and George Kittle. Are you going to find another Bosa? What happens when the offensive line breaks down? You whiff on a left tackle pick. And Mac Jones has to carry an offense against Kyler Murray, Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson. And you're watching that thing. Those guys can carry teams. Those guys can carry teams in moments throughout their career. So it's one of these, Mac's going to go to San Francisco. If he does, he's going to succeed. He's going to have some success. But my takeaway is you're drafting what's driving you nuts. A competent distributor of the football with a low ceiling. And he gave up a ton of picks to do it if you do draft him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
I don't like being a jerk, so I'm not going to be great right here. You're not going to like me much. Joy will, because she adores me, but most of you won't. So there's a story out about the Eagles, how poorly they treated Doug Peterson. Just treated him like crap. Again, this goes back to guys, smart billionaires doing dumb stuff. When you do that, coaches talk. And when coaches talk, like, don't go. They treat you bad. This is why Cleveland forever kept running through coaches. Because the organization kept firing him, didn't give him any chance. You're not going to move your daughters cross-country to Cleveland. You're not going to move your kids, 7, 8, 9 years old, your wife to a place. You'd rather make a little less, remain a coordinator, and not get jacked and fired in a year. That's why I've said keep a coach an extra year in most cases. It creates kind of a unified front a little bit. But when you read this story about how lousy they treated Doug Peterson, well, Peterson's telling everybody, he's like, this place is a nightmare. Chip Kelly told everybody, it's a nightmare. Chip Kelly goes 10-6. He entered his third year and they wanted him out. And he'd done it with like C-plus quarterbacks. Andy Reid, one losing year, got rid of him. Doug Peterson, one losing year. He went like 13-3, 9-7, 9-7. Then they struggled, out. Chip Kelly, one loose, out. They have no patience. But the reason they ended up with Nick Sirianni, who I wish the kid well, he's like 38, 39 years old, never been a coach, never called plays in his life, even for the Colts. He wouldn't call him plays. But the kid was overwhelmed in a Zoom meeting. And it's like, that's the reason being is all the coaches, all the good coaches are like, stay away from Philadelphia. So, of course, Nick's going to take it. He's 30-some years old. He's going to make millions of dollars. So for him, of course you take it. He never made any money. But for the guys with options, they were like, get out of here. That's why Cleveland always hired a guy that nobody else wanted. And Nick wasn't interviewing. And he's probably the greatest guy in the world. But it was so funny when they hired him, all these Philadelphia meatballs defended it. Folks, if you get overwhelmed by a Zoom meeting, you're not going to beat Pete Carroll and Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin. So, and I've always said this, you can see great instantly. You watch American Idol. I'm not into music. You can watch American Idol for 15 seconds and go, hack, stud. She's amazing. He stinks. It doesn't take long to see great. So Philadelphia settles for Nick Sirianni because the owner treats Peterson like garbage, and Peterson's telling all of his coaching buddies, don't go there. It's awful. You know, he's protecting his buddies. I mean, I've worked at places previously where I've warned people, don't go there. Do not go there. You will not be treated like they're selling you. Come to Fox. They treat you better. I've told everybody that. They just treat people well. So when Sean McVay got hired, he was like 31 years old. Here was his opening press conference. He looks like a news anchor. He's so smooth. I mean, he looks like a president. Watch this.
We're going to be a team that's built on character. We feel that true leadership is about building and developing relationships that are going to help us create a unified vision that's sustainable over time. Our character will be the foundation, and it'll be the glue that holds us together as an organization.
The pauses, the confidence, the chest out. You can walk into a room of alphas. They are buying that. They are buying that. And within days, people were saying about McVay, my God, this guy's a rock star. He's the next Belichick. Nick Sirianni, who was like the Eagles' ninth choice, here was his first press conference.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do. We're gonna have systems in place that are easier to learn. All right, complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against or the special teams group they're going against, but easy for us to learn. Because when we can put that, and we can get good at our system, then our talent can take over. Less thinking equals talent take over, but we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so.
My head hurts. You going to sell that to alpha males? But why do you end up with that? Because your owner's berating Doug Peterson in year two. So Peterson's telling his allies, everybody likes Doug. Peterson's like, guys, it's brutal. It's brutal. They went 13-3 in his second year. And he's getting called. When owners treat coaches poorly and are unrealistic, you end up with the seventh option as head coach. I know I feel like a jerk doing that. But that and Eagle fans are like, that doesn't matter. You're an idiot. If you don't think that, the players for Philadelphia saw that. You go on a 4-game losing streak, that's it. You have lost the locker room. McVay has never, ever, ever lost that locker room. As Dave Wannstedt says, you can lose games. Mike Tomlin never loses the locker room. Pete Carroll never loses the locker room.
You like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Well, come join me, John Middlecoff, on the 3-and-Out podcast. Used to scout in the NFL. Now I talk about it on that podcast. Coming up, we're talking Mac Jones. We're talking Justin Fields. We're talking Sam Darnold to the Panthers, how it impacts everything. Also, a little Trey Lance and a little Zach Wilson. I have you covered. Go subscribe right now. 3-and-Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
TJ Hushmanzada does about as good a job on the draft as anybody. He goes down to Irvine. And this morning he was watching Sam Darnold work out with Christian McCaffrey and Josh Allen of the Bills working out with Dawson Knox, the tight end. And TJ Hushmanzada now joins us live. 11 years in the NFL. By the way, so Sam Darnold, Christian McCaffrey, come on, tell me, what was it like? Come on, give me a little hint.
Now, Christian McCaffrey is really good. And I know people know that. But I hadn't seen him in person. The way he runs routes, he's like a receiver. Like it shocked me. And his burst, it almost like he was a rocket, like somebody put a propeller behind him, a booster, and he just takes off. I mean, I was thoroughly impressed. And just the fact that Sam just gets with the Panthers and the best player on the team comes out and works out with him, I expect great things from the both of them.
By the way, it's when you get traded or let go by a franchise, you know, Darnold said, it stings, right? And Joey and I have talked about this. If I got traded to another network, you know, you start to – how do you not lose confidence as a pro athlete when you're traded?
It happens, man. For Sam, it's once he has success, like he'll lose – every athlete, I don't care who you are, the best athletes, everybody has lost their confidence. And the only way you can get it back is to perform up to your expectations. It's not everybody else's, it's your expectations. As long as he performs up to his expectations, which I believe are higher than anybody can put on him, he'll be fine. But it's going to take a while for him to get back to the Sam Darnold of USC, feeling like I can do whatever, whenever, and however. But with the weapons that he has in Carolina, the Jets are going to look back and say, oh, Sam can really play. We didn't surround him with the guys needed to give him the success that he should have had.
Yeah. So Mark Sanchez said yesterday he likes that Zach Wilson from BYU is great in chaos. And I said, in life, whatever you're great at, you'll lean into. If you're a, if you have a great singing voice, you'll sing in the car, you'll sing in the shower, you'll join a chorus. You know, we all lean into what we're good at. And I said, what worries me about Zach Wilson, who's better in chaos, so was Brett Favre, is that Brett Favre often leaned into chaos. He didn't want to learn pre-snap. He's like, I'm not going to learn a new offense. I'm going to be a gunslinger. Big Ben's a lot like that. Ben's kind of good in chaos. Ben's never really been a sophisticated pre-snap guy. Is that if you're in chaos too much as a quarterback, then you're not audibling out of it. And that's my bigger issue. Peyton Manning wasn't in chaos. When were there players in your career, maybe Ocho was like this, that they actually perform better off script? And how does it land? How does that land for you? And how does it land as a teammate?
Out of all the guys that I played with, it would have to be Chad. And Chad was, you didn't want to put Chad in a box. Meaning, for instance, I'll give you an example. We would install a new play and it would be okay. And two high, we're going to run it like this. When I say two high safeties. So in cover two, we want to run a route like this. Cover four, we want to run it this way. So that they're both too high, but we're going to run the route differently depending on what coverage. Single high, we're going to run a route like this. So that's three different ways we can run that route. So Chad is, you just got to let Chad be an athlete. Chad's going to get open. And it might not be what we just talked about. Or two, it was too high, Chad, cover two. The middle of the field was open. He's still going to get open. But if you try to overcoach him, then it can kind of bog down his athleticism and just natural talent taking over.
Yeah. So we were talking about Julian Edelman. And most people think he won't get into the Hall of Fame. But my argument has always been is there's a lot of guys, receivers on bad teams. And they pick up a lot of yards, 8 minutes to go against prevent defense. You know, I mean, I like Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan trails in a lot of games with eight to go. He may pick up 130 yards in the last two drives, and they're meaningless. Edelman, with 8 minutes to go, led for a decade. The Patriots led. They won 12, 13 games a year. So he was asked to block. So when you look at Edelman's numbers, they're true numbers. He didn't have junk yards. The system asked him, return punts, block. But in the biggest spots of his career, he was always better. He was great in Super Bowls, great in playoff games. And I look at him and I think, I know the numbers don't add up, but you're talking about in the history of the league, if you said slot receiver, I'd probably be like, yeah, Edelman. That's why, and I view him and I think, I don't care what position you play. If you're a top two or three at a position all time, that feels like a Hall of Famer to me. How do you view Edelman? Not a deep threat. Don't have to double cover him. Probably doesn't have the yards, the touchdowns. How do you view him having played in the NFL?
I can't put Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame. And when he sees me, he's probably going to curse me out for this. And I like him. He's a good player, but he was a role player in that system. Now, let me ask you this question. Would you take Julian Edelman over Wes Welker? Would you take Julian Edelman over Hines? But he couldn't beat out Wes Welker. He was Wes Welker's backup for a long time. He couldn't beat Wes out. So they were on the same team, and he backed up Wes Welker.
Well,
he couldn't beat him out.
Well, he was like a seventh-round pick, and then he started returning punts. And then once they saw he could return punts and Wes Welker was getting beat up on punts, then they let Edelman do more punts. I would argue this, that position, Welker and Edelman, has a lifespan. And the minute they thought Edelman was as good or better, because I think Edelman's better than Welker, then they moved off from him. But it did take Edelman, a college quarterback, a while to figure out New England's system. Is that fair?
100% is fair. And this is how I look at the Hall of Fame for me personally. This is my are you a Hall of Famer? Are you not a Hall of Famer? When you played, I don't care. Like the stats thing, that doesn't matter. When you played and somebody says, Colin Joy, name the top receivers in the league, you'll name 15, maybe 20 guys before you get to Julian Edelman. And so name the top quarterbacks in the league, Brady, Manning, when they were playing, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. If you can't, if your name doesn't come up in the discussion, how can you be the Hall of Fame when it is the best of the best? When you say name the top DBs, oh, Deion, Darryl Green, Champ Bailey. If your name cannot be brought into that topic of conversation, you're not a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Joe Nelsman played well in the playoffs, but it's not just the playoff games. You have to do, it's a totality of your entire career, not just the playoffs.
But if I said to you, best slot receivers ever, because I look at, there's the DeAndre Hopkins on the outside. You want a tall, angular speed receiver. Those guys often don't run as good of routes. On the inside, I need route runners. I need blockers. So I look at him as a top three slot receiver ever. Do you?
Yes. Julian Edelman playing in a slot. Like he made plays. When the catch he made against Atlanta, I don't think anybody else makes that catch. That's going to be an incomplete pass. He made plays when they needed him to make plays. I'm not taking that away from him. But I just always believe, and I'll give you a prime, like Torrey Holt, he's not in the Hall of Fame. Isaac Bruce is not in the Hall of Fame. I believe they'll get in. Reggie Wayne is it in the Hall of Fame. I believe he'll get in. One of the best receivers to ever play football, and I'll argue with anybody, Chad, he'll never get in the Hall of Fame. And no disrespect, Julian Edelman, he can't touch Chad when it comes to playing the wide receiver position. Not even close. Apples, not even apples to oranges, apples to beans.
But okay, let me throw this out. But Chad didn't run good routes. Chad wasn't always
that's so disrespectful, Colin. Chad is one of the best route runners in the history of the NFL. History. Not when he played, history.
Well, did he block?
No.
All right.
No, he's not going to block.
Was he easy on quarterbacks or was he difficult?
He was easy on quarterbacks because he created a ton of separation. He was difficult because he would freelance a little too much.
All right. A little bit of a freelancer. Well, I'm not – Hall of Fame has freelancers. You can be a freelancer. I'm okay with freelance. I'm not saying – by the way, I'm just making the argument that I think in sports, when you play for a great organization like Manu Ginobili with the Spurs or Klay Thompson with the Warriors, you sacrifice a lot of stats because – you're going to be leading games late. You're going to hit the bench. I mean, when you play with Durant and Steph Curry, they're going to be nice. Klay Thompson takes 9 shots. If he played in Charlotte, he'd take 24 and score 32. So I think, you know, we look at Edelman and say he was elevated by the Patriots. And I think, yeah, to some degree. But I also think he didn't get any junk yards because they always led with 7.5 to go. And they just ask him, go block. Greg Jennings said that earlier. He said 7.5 minutes to go when he's in Green Bay. He put his blocking pads on. It's like, all right, guys, my day's done. I'm going to go block. See, now, when you played
– Greg Jennings was a hell of a receiver. Will he get to the Hall of Fame? If you ask me who would I take as a receiver, Greg Jennings or Edelman, I'm taking Greg.
All right. You don't like short slot guys. That's okay.
No, I want guys that can get open in any system. Like, if you can run routes and get open in any system, you can play. And that's, to me, is – a good receiver. Can you get in the slot and get open? Can you go outside and get open? And to me, that's Hall of Fame. Can you do both? It doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter what team you're on. Can I put you outside and you run a comeback? Can you run a slant? Can you go in the slot and run a choice and option route? So that's how I look at things. And the best receivers that are T.O., he can do both. Randy Moss couldn't do both, but he was so good at one, it didn't matter.
All right, I'm done arguing. This was good. Hey, can you do me a favor? I never ask you to do me favors. Can you do me a favor?
I got you.
So do you know what the favor is going to be?
Well, no, it doesn't matter. What you need?
Well, say hi to Sam Darnold. You should tell him I said hi.
It's funny. We talked about you today. He asked me when I was going on the show, and I said today. He's like, does Colin like me? I said, Sam, shut the – you know he likes you. He just starts laughing. you know what he did say?
What?
He said, look how I have my hat. I always wear my hat to the front. True story.
How about that?
He said that today. He said that today.
I love Sam Darnold more today than any day ever.
TJ, you know what you're doing.
TJ.
Hey, Joy, no lie. We were sitting there, and he was like, I have my hat to the front. And then Josh was like, so do I.
See, you're influencing the younger generation, Colin.
I would love for those guys, if they ever want to sit in this couch, I'll give them the hour. Whatever they want to promote, I'll give them the hour, Josh Allen and Sam Darnold.
I'll let them know. I'll let them know for sure.
All right, buddy. Good seeing you.
You guys take care. Keep up the great work.